ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, fact or fiction? It just takes one sighting and you have your answer. Becky Cook is my guest. She's a lot of fun to talk to already. I didn't even have the microphone turned on to record or anything, and we've already wasted like a half hour. So I thought, I better start recording. Okay, here's the story. Local woman collects more than 60 accounts of Bigfoot sightings in Idaho. Okay, you can Google that. It's the eastidahonews.com. And this is where you can get the background on Becky and her books. And the deal was, when I read it, I'm like, what a fun job to segue into. All right, you're already a reporter, writer, news person, and your assignment is to go out and find a guy who hunts on horseback. And so you're out doing your assignment, yay, and the guy says, oh, by the way, I saw Bigfoot. Whoa! There you go. Life-changing moment, or was it?
Yep, it was. He told me about that, and I just thought, are you kidding me? This is crazy. So I was writing it all down as fast as he was telling me, because I write everything out in longhand before I type it in. And he's telling me this story, and his hunting partner backed him up. They were out in the middle of basically nowhere out in the, there's the Frank Church Wilderness and the Selway, and they're right next to each other. They're out in the middle of nowhere and hunting, and he said, 2 o'clock in the morning, he's wide awake. He said, I never wake up in the morning, so he said he's laying there thinking, what the heck woke me up, when he hears this Bigfoot scream. And he said it held this same note for about 40 seconds, just solid. And then he's like, what the heck? And he wakes up his partner, and his partner's listening too. And after a while, they heard it come right down to the river. They were on one side of the river. It was on the other side of the river. They said they heard it come right down to the river, and then it went all the way up the river and then came back down and then went down the river and then eventually just disappeared or left the area. In between then, they turned on their lights really quick and they pulled out their guns and got them all locked and loaded, and the Bigfoot didn't come back around. And he said he had a hard time sleeping the rest of the night. And his partner's like, oh, it's just Bigfoot. He's not going to eat you. So the next morning, they get out, and he's like, I wanted proof. I wanted proof there was something out there. And he said right across from their camp on the other side of the river, there was this big rock that kind of jutted out into the river. And he said they found footprints in the mud leading up to it and going away from it where it stepped on clearly. These great big huge footprints. And he's like, from there on out, he was a believer. Oh, and I mean, wow. This guy, when I interviewed him, this has been 2003, I think, is when I interviewed this guy. And at the time, he's in his 50s, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, doesn't use crazy drugs. And he's telling me this story, and I was thinking, Pat is so stinking cool.
I found my calling. Yes.
Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't think of that then. I've actually heard a lot of stories since the time I was 4. I grew up on an Indian reservation. We heard stories all the time. Oh. And I started collecting them and just sticking them in a folder when I was a teenager. I did that for a really long time. And then there was this period where I didn't hear of anything. And then this one kind of falls into my lap. And I told my editor, and he was like, I knew that we didn't print that type of stuff. Uh-huh. I knew it because we're, news.
Yeah. 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 Just mainstream.
Facts, yeah.
Was it farm news or what in your community?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Intermountain Farm and Ranch. So.
Okay.
I just told him, I would never print this, but I told him it was such a cool story. And I told my editor this is like the 1st of October that year. And I said, yeah, we'll never use it. And he calls me back about 2 hours later and he says, you know what? Let's run that for the Halloween edition. That way people can make up their own minds as, wackadoodle or whatever.
Right.
So we ran it for the Halloween edition, and then it just happened that my editor went on vacation that next week, and he's driving across South Dakota, and he said, he's going through his mind, crap, I hope I don't get in trouble. And we didn't have any really solid news except for that crazy story of Becky's and Bigfoot.
Yes.
Man, I hope I don't get into trouble. Uh-huh. And he said he came back and we've gone into second print.
You got good trouble.
So the next year we did it again, and then I found some true ghost stories we ran with one time. So anyway, it was fun.
Okay, well, and see, that's what I think is so fascinating, hearing your story and hearing you say, I kept a file of this kind of stuff from the time I was a kid. And so the interest was always there and the curiosity. And then here this gem falls in your lap and it's like you were prepared because you'd already had some kind of a background in reading the stories. So you weren't going to say, don't tell me, I don't have time for this. You were going to say, hey, yes, somebody who's an experiencer telling me the story, how good can it get?
Yep.
So, all right. So now you grew up, you said, on the reservation. Were there the stories that you heard? Was it current contact or old stories? What was the nature of
both and all sorts of things? So my dad was a police officer, and but we lived on the reservation. I am not Native, but and no one in my family is Native. But my dad has very strong integrity and honesty, and that's the way I was raised. And so when there was a problem on the reservation, like say they needed electrical work done or whatever, they would have my dad come in for a second opinion and say, okay, they say we need this, what do we need, what do we really need, you know?
Yeah
And so they trusted him. And when crazy calls would come in, like Bigfoot or whatever, and they needed a backup liaison, they sent him over because we were already right there.
Mm-hmm.
So it just happened, like when I was 4 years old, they had this Bigfoot came down and tried to shake apart a trailer. And back then, people didn't have phones. And cell phones were just, you know, imaginary by then.
Yes.
But so these people waited, and the Bigfoot went around the side of the trailer, and they all ran out and got in the car and went down to the police station. And two police cars went out with a policeman, and by the time they got there, the Bigfoot was gone, but it had taken apart the well house, pump house, and just totally dismantled it. And there was footprints all over the place in the mud. So they followed the footprints down on the canal, which ironically was right near where we lived, and they found this Bigfoot that was head and shoulders above a lilac bush. And so they just backed off at that point because the Indians don't believe in bothering them if they're not bothering someone. And by then they weren't bothering anybody, so they just backed off.
Right.
So I heard this story when I was four, and then we actually drove past that house. It was kind of one of those random things. About 3 or 4 days later, we were driving past that house, and my dad pointed it out. And I just thought, wow, what's a Bigfoot? You know, it was just, you know, you don't really absorb that when you're four.
Yeah.
And years later, I'm writing the first book, and I mentioned that to this lady, and she said, oh, well, so you haven't heard the rest of the story. And I said, there's a rest of the story? I mean, how random is that?
Wow.
And she said, the man who lived in that house had taken a pot shot at a Bigfoot, at a juvenile Bigfoot, and had drawn blood. It didn't die. It just kept going. But 2 days later, this great big Bigfoot comes over, and I said, oh, so this is like mom saying, don't you mess with my kids, you know?
Wow.
So, and she said, yeah, I can see that happening. And I said, so what happened to the guy? And she said, he moved out and left the area. I think he was afraid they'd come back.
They made their point. Okay. And that's the other thing, too, that, you know, when you see these shows on cable, whatever, that are out there with their guns. Okay, we're going to go shoot us a Bigfoot. It's like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, really?
It's like,
you don't know what you're hunting.
No.
Seriously?
No.
You don't know what you're after.
Well, and the other thing too, when you know, the stories that I have read and talked to people about in terms of, you know, walking along and there are footprints and then there are no footprints at all. They're completely gone. They disappear and the dog can't track nothing. It's gone. And so those are little questions, as you know, if you really seriously think you're going to go hunt Bigfoot, Bigfoot knows you're coming.
Yes, indeed.
Becky Cook, my guest, Bigfoot, the stories, next KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. I had no idea Idaho was so popular for Bigfoot sightings. Becky Cook has written 3 books, Bigfoot Lives in Idaho, Bigfoot Still Lives in Idaho, and Bigfoot Lives Forever in Idaho. With all the stories that you've collected, and the newspaper article said 60 accounts, Are there some that can give us a hint as to what might be in store if somebody goes out camping alone and, you know, I'm just going to say unarmed, so they're innocent. They're not causing trouble, but they might be in a spot that they shouldn't be.
Two, actually, that stand out to me. And one, actually, the guy didn't know about Bigfoot. He had heard some story at some point in time, but he's disabled and he has a fifth wheel and that's what he lives in. And he'd parked it on a friend's property and was doing whatever he was doing inside when he happened to glance. He said he felt somebody watching him and he turned and there was a Bigfoot staring in the window. And he said the positioning was it had its arm up above its head, leaning against the windowsill with its face like right in close to the window. He couldn't miss it. He couldn't miss it.
Yeah.
But it freaked him clear the flip out. And so he runs back in the master bedroom, locks everything, and he calls his buddy who had mentioned the Bigfoot. And he's like, there's this big one out there. And the other guy's like, cool, man. And he's like, go out and take a picture. And he's like, I am not going out there. And he said it took like an hour and a half for his buddy to convince him to just go out and look and see if it was still there. And he said he went out, and of course it wasn't there. And his buddy's like, okay, so now you need to leave it some peanut butter. And he's like, I am not leaving it some peanut butter. I'm not going to bait it and make it come back. But he did end up, leaving some peanut butter on the edge of like a deck area.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the next day he goes out and there's some missing and it's counter screwed. It's, you know, skalumpus.
Yeah.
It was screwed up all funny.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, I am not living here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So he packs up his fifth wheel. He moves 22 miles away. And that same night, the Bigfoot came down into his yard again. And I was saying, you know what? I kind of wonder if this is actually a female Bigfoot that's got a crush on you. I honestly wonder. I'm starting to wonder here.
Because it's too convenient.
Random weird things that happened. When I interviewed him, this had just happened like 3 months before, and he was still having odd things happening all the time. And he said he went out for a drive with his girlfriend. They park and they're making out, and he says things are getting kind of hot and heavy, the windows are steaming up, when he said somebody picked up the back of his pickup and just lifted it and dropped it. And he's like, oh my goodness, what the heck. His girlfriend's like, I think I want to go home. Yes I do. Take me home.
So
it just takes him home. So that was one that was just kind of random and funny. And I can't even remember how I met that guy. It was one of those random things.
Well, and that's the paranormal stuff that goes along with this, the unexplained, because it might be that you're not going to see it. You just see the result or feel the result. Other people have described is that there's a telepathic connect. That's one thing. Like when the guy said he didn't know why he woke up, but something woke him up. And then he heard the sound. So something in, you know, that other sense had kicked in and he's like, okay, there's something here. What is it? And why am I awake? And then this with something picking up the truck and, you know, making a point.
I'm pretty sure it was a female.
It sounds, you know, especially with the girlfriend interrupt, you know, it's like somebody's jealous. I've got my eye on you, honey. I'm kind of like, well, wait.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, he's told me some amazing things since then. And because he said, you know, you just don't tell everyone, oh yeah, I saw Bigfoot. People look at you like, and where's the little white coat that's your size? You know, he said he and some buddies were sitting out drinking beer around their fire pit. He said, no fire. They're just sitting there chatting.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy's like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I believe in Bigfoot. Yeah, you know, and he said, the funny thing is, he's glancing over the guy's head and he can see this Bigfoot that came past his house and walked down the side of his trailer and then went across the river. And he's like, I'm just about splitting a gut there thinking, yeah, you just missed him. Never mind. You just missed him. So he's gone from being completely paranoid and scared of him to, Oh, yeah, they're the neighbors. They come by every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah, just, you know, behave, behave. Peanut butter's good if you've got it.
Yeah.
Okay, the other thing about that, when I was reading your information talking about people who've had near-death experiences, saying that that is a real big key and a connect between people who have sightings.
That's one of my pet theories. And, you know, I can't prove or disprove that. I'm finding that there's a higher occurrence of people who've actually had near-death experiences and then have seen a Bigfoot. And I know that was the case with me because I'd gone through some crazy things. And then here I start seeing these Bigfoot. But, yeah, it seems to be about 70%. And sometimes I wonder if the person even remembers that they had a near-death experience, because that can also be true. They just don't remember. You know, it was too traumatic or whatever.
Okay, now did you have a near-death experience?
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Well, okay, let me pick it up. I'm very unusual. I'm one of the tallest women you'll ever meet. I am 6'6", been this tall most of my life. I can't take medication most of the time. I can't even take aspirin or Tylenol. It'd kill me. So, but I have a bunch of kids. And I had several of those C-section. Well, those are kind of counterproductive right there. So I would tell them, okay, can't take very much medication. But there was twice when I was overdosed and I completely left my body. And I remember it.
Okay.
But I didn't remember the first time until the second one happened. And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, this happened before. I remember this.
Wow.
So that happened. And then, you know, it's just, I see people that other people can't see, and mm-hmm. I'm aware of things that other people aren't aware of. And so that kind of, with the Bigfoot, it's almost like posing a question to the universe. Okay, have the Bigfoot been here? Oh yeah, I can feel it. You know, I can feel it inside me where they've been. And just, I know that one's kind of random, but.
No. I believe me, there's another guy who does Bigfoot research, and he has that same kind of connect, and it's a telepathic thing. And it's a sixth sense where there is this awareness that they are present. And my own experience, when I went down to Board Camp Crystal Mine, I was going for the crystals. I thought that was fantastic. It's in Arkansas, Mena, Arkansas. And it was going to be, you know, short little jaunt down to go check out and find out more about the crystals. Only when I got there did they say, oh, by the way, we have Bigfoot sightings. Look, this is what happened last night. See this big 12-foot log 20 feet up in the tree? That happened last night. Oh, well, that's another part of the story. So it was, and then that night when we were there, there was a shelf that was in the room. The next morning, the shelf was gone. My husband and I both remembered this shelf being in that space and then it being empty and thinking, what the heck? But it was a test of, are you paying attention? How much, you know, are you aware?
That happens a lot. My youngest son is on the autistic spectrum, and he was, oh man, I think 8 or 9 when we started seeing, we started finding footprints in our yard after we'd watered. You know, you flood irrigate and it goes deep, and we'd find these great big huge footprints. He found the first ones. Mm-hmm. And he came in and he showed them to me, and I'm usually either barefoot or in my flip-flops. So I went outside and popped my flip-flop off, and my feet are almost exactly 12 inches long, and these were 4 inches longer.
Oh.
And clear footprint. It had sunk in deeper in the heel than the toe. But just clear as could be in the middle of the yard. And I was thinking, that is so stinking cool.
Got to take a quick break. Okay, we're going to come back. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Okay, it was a cliffhanger ending. We were just getting to the good part of the story. Becky Cook, my guest, 60 accounts of Bigfoot sightings, at least. Those are the ones she can talk about. So here you are, living in the middle of, I don't know if it's Bigfoot Central, but it certainly is a very popular area known for lots of sightings. And you're living there, and your son says, oh, yeah, once you guys discover that this activity is there. What was that like? I mean, was it kind of exciting?
It was really amazing. It really was amazing. Just to have such an amazing relationship, I guess. So my son would do these random things, you know, that only a kid would think of. Like, he came in one day and he's like, Mom, the Bigfoot have been here. And I thought, I knew that they'd been there from some other things. But I said, well, how do you know? And he said, he had this spear-like javelin thing. And he said, I went out there and I stuck it in the ground really hard so it was standing straight up. And when I went out there today, it was leaning over. I was thinking, only a boy would think of something like that. And then a couple of days would go by and he's like, Mom, the Bigfoot were here last night too. And they said, so how do you know? And he said, I told them that if they came past and I wasn't awake, that they should move my bike. And I thought, okay, this is, you know, something a kid would think of. But all of our bikes were all, you know, in a row.
Uh-huh.
And his was had been at the end. And they took it and went around the house and tucked it into, like, the flower bed.
Oh, wow. So
just one of those random things.
Yes.
They knew which one was his stuff. And
exactly.
He was actually with me. One of the last times we were there in that area, we were up in the mountains and there were 7 of us humans and 3 Bigfoot showed up. And my kids were with me and they saw it. But then there was also some adults with us who also could see them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty amazing because there was a group of them. That really was amazing to me. But the biggest one there, I have no concept of how big he was because we could only see like chest and one shoulder and his head.
Uh-huh.
And he was enormous. And we were seeing 25 feet away. We're close.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I could see because of the foliage and we're up in the, you know, up in the trees and stuff. And I just thought, wow, you know, that is
huge.
Just wow.
Huge. Yeah.
Wow. And then there were 2 others that were kind of juveniles. I'm assuming they were juveniles because they were all elbows and knees. And you know how teenagers are. That's kind of what they looked like. They were about 22 to 25 feet straight up the mountain from us directly in front. And the big one was to the right of us, upstream just a little bit. So it was really an amazing thing. And my kids had been with me at different times when we found footprints in just amazing places. And a lot of them, we had talked before, I don't take pictures of a lot of them. I just figure I know what I'm seeing and I don't feel like I have to prove that to anyone. It's just, I really don't care what you think of me. I know that I'm honest and I know that I have my own integrity. And it's like I explained to someone, it's like if you were best friends with Elvis and you knew Elvis was going to come visit and hang out and have pizza, you wouldn't exactly tell the media and everyone else in the world, oh yeah, Elvis is going to swing by, because then it ceases to be an intimate thing. It becomes a big carnival.
Well, the other thing too is that sometimes when we try to take pictures of these kinds of things, they don't appear. Because it's because it's a different dimension. And so we're able to have the experience one-on-one because at that moment we're shifted into that space and camera may not capture that, or it may, but it may not develop. and so that's the other thing too. So then again, here you've tried to do something that is really not going to work because it operates under a different set of laws, physics than we currently understand. A lot of times it doesn't matter how much proof there is until someone is ready to actually accept that happens. They will deny anything that is, you know, hidden in plain view. It can be right there and yet, no, because it's too frightening and it really upsets what their framework is enough that it would cause a whole lot of turmoil. So
I had a guy like that. I had been told about this guy who might have had a possible Bigfoot sighting, and he's a world-renowned hunter. He actually holds the record for black bear kills in Pennsylvania. But he leads people on hunts all over the world. He's gone to Europe. He's gone to Asia. He's gone to Africa. And he's just a short little dude. He's like 5 feet, nothing. And he is out in the woods. I would guess maybe 90% of his life is spent out in the woods. And so I went up to talk to him one Friday, and he was telling me, he's like, you know, I don't think I've seen one, but I'm pretty sure I heard one. He said he was out stalking something. Mm-hmm. And he said, all of a sudden, all these animals just started running past him. And he said, you kind of have this feeling like, okay, should I be running too? Uh-huh, you know? Yeah. And he said he went up a tree and he sat in a tree and he heard this voice, this loud noise. And he said it shook him through his chest. And that's one thing that I've noticed. If you stand real close, they've got deep voices and mm-hmm. they're loud. And he said it shook him through his chest, and he was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what the heck that was. But he said all of the animals ran away from it. And so this on a Friday, I'm interviewing him about this, and we chatted about all sorts of things. The following Wednesday, I'm headed somewhere else. I get this phone call from him, and he's so excited about couldn't speak. And I said, what? Okay, slow down. What happened? And they were going up to the top of the mountains, laying out some bear bait. He and a friend, his friend's driving. And he said on the way down the mountain, he's kind of dozing and the road's twisting and turning. And he said, all of a sudden up ahead, he saw what almost looked like a bear jump across the road. And he tells his friend, stop, 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 stop. And they go back to where they saw this thing. And there is a clear big footprint on the right side of the road and jumping over to the left side of the road, just clear as can be. And so he pulls out his little trusty measuring thing, and it was 87 inches from the heel of the one foot to the toe of the other foot.
87?
So one jump, 87 inches.
Wow.
Straight across. And he's like, it was just amazing. So he said, so we started looking around to see what else we could find. And he said, this was in the fall, but there'd already been some snow. And he said, we actually found this little ridge of snow and found footprints of a big one and then a little one right beside him. And so he's like, that was just so cool. I think I saw my first Bigfoot. Woohoo, you know?
And it took that long.
So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, because you would think, you know, people who are immersed and really, really in that area would see. But again, that near-death thing that we mentioned a little bit ago, and the fact that some people can see and others can't is, it's a big clue. Yeah. It's a clue. And it says it doesn't mean there's any negative thing about that. It just means you're a different frequency or vibration than what is happening right alongside you. And until you're in that space, you're not going to see it. So I guess we should all, I don't know, maybe we should have get into that space or not get into that space. I'm not going there yet.
Well, true. It's if you just don't believe it, or if you just don't want to believe it, I think it takes more proof to actually change your mind. And you will find logical things to say, well, you know, that wasn't a Bigfoot. That was a bear with big feet. No, it's clear footprints. This guy, I've taken other pictures back to him and said, okay, is this a bear or is this a Bigfoot? And he'll say, no, that's a bear. You can tell by this, you know, padding and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. But when I first saw my first Bigfoot, you and I had been talking about how your mind just cannot grasp sometimes that you're what you're seeing. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the way our minds work. I mean, literally, if somebody goes through a lot of trauma, it's actually a good thing. They can actually, it gets tucked back in the recesses of their brain until they're old enough or until they can deal with it. And so I actually saw my first Bigfoot in 2000. I was pregnant with my youngest son.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go camping, we read books. So I was reading through this series of books, and I would read until my voice gave out, and then I'd tell the kids, okay, you got to go to bed. So it was like 11:30 at night, and the kids were all in bed, and I was just about ready to drift off when I heard something in our camp, and
okay.
I thought,
we're going to take a quick break. This is a perfect time. This is like a camping story, you know, when the ghost is about ready to do something, you take a break. Oh, no. Wait. Okay, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio, Becky Cook. We've talked about the fact that she was aware of Bigfoot from the time she was 4 years old, had heard a story, okay, was writing just your regular conventional kind of stories. Then this Bigfoot story happens and changed her life. And we're glad because now you can come out of the closet with your collection. How's that? Okay, so it was just waiting. Okay, well, you've got a few books too. And her website, you can check it out, BigfootList.com. All right. So you guys are out camping. You read till your voice gave out, and then you're all of a sudden, you hear something?
So everybody else is asleep, and I am just drifting off when I heard something in the camp, and I thought, my thought goes through my head, ah, crap, Becky, you didn't pick up the veggie scraps. And, you know, there's bear out there. There's moose. I was a little more worried about the moose.
Yes.
You know, you just don't know what's out there, and I should have picked up the scraps. So I unzipped the bottom of the tent, and I'm peeking out there, and I saw this being that was bent over, and its back was level with the bottom, with the top of the table. So it's bent over, and that's where its back was, even with the picnic table, and it's eating these scraps. And I thought, what the heck? You can see the moon was bright enough. You can see like a strip of whitish or silver going across its back. So of course your mind is like, badger or skunk. And I'm thinking, there ain't no way. That's a badger. It's too big. And way too big for a skunk. And so I'm thinking, I don't know what it is. So I yell, what are you doing out there?
Okay.
And it was the craziest thing. It put one hand down and it just started running on 2 feet, just like a football player does. You know, they'll put one hand down.
Yeah, yeah.
And off it went. And it just ran. And I was like, I have no idea what that was. I absolutely have no idea what that was, even though I'd been collecting these stories. It had been a while since I had actually seen or heard of any of the stories, so my mind wasn't going there.
Yeah.
So I just kind of put that away in the back of my head, and I really didn't even pull it out until I started finding the footprints in the yard. And then I would be sitting, you know, late at night, I'm thinking, you know, Bigfoot. And it occurred to me, oh yeah, you actually saw this one when you were going camping. And it really made me wonder. A lot of people will say that those Bigfoot are really curious, and I think maybe they were just there listening to the stories or listening to my voice. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would read every single night we were camping. We'd work our way through these books. So who knows? But it was fun. And that was actually the first time I saw them, but I've seen them multiple times since then.
In the book, you also have the footprints, and these are huge. There's one, there's a pen that's in the middle, and there's about 3 or 4 inches on each side of the pen.
Yep.
So that's like, 18 inches or so for that foot?
Somewhere right around there. They actually, the story was originally done by Finding Bigfoot, but they said there were literally thousands of footprints to choose from. They just found one that was really ultra clear and laid a pen down, took a picture. And then I was given a copy of it when I interviewed the guy and asked about it, because literally it was kind of just over the mountain range from where I was living at the time.
That's, I think, so fascinating that there's so much activity, and yet people are still afraid to talk about it. Because you had a bunch of stories that you said you couldn't share because they were still, I'll tell you the story, but I don't want to go public. And so there are some stories you're sitting on because there's still that stigma.
Yep. There's a lot of people like that. And I feel privileged to have the stories, honestly. I really do, because it's that element of trust, and I'm grateful that I'm trustworthy enough that they let me use those stories, even to just tell when I'm talking to people. I really enjoy that. And, you know, some of the people that I've interviewed, they've since passed away. And so I just think, okay, how can I maybe use this story? But then, you know, it's an integrity thing. I won't put them in book unless I can actually back it up. And that's one of the things that I wanted to drill down on. And with all of my books, is that if you go back and you interview these people, they're going to tell you the exact same story. Nobody's making anything up.
Yeah.
You know, this is what happened. Some of them, I don't know if they will talk to you, but there was one guy, they used to call the area right in the center of Idaho, they used to call it the Devil's Triangle, and it it was just really rough and really wild. It still is. There's a nuclear exploratory laboratory out there, and its land is fenced. But then there's a real rough, rugged area by it, too. And every once in a while, I'd hear some stories out there when somebody was out there. And this man was like, oh, I've heard tons of stories. And I said, so tell me a couple. And he said he had a good friend who had some cows that disappeared one day. They broke out of their pen and just disappeared. And so he was going to go out and look for them. He and his son were both on horseback. And they looked all day long and could not find them. But then there's these arroyos. So, you know, it looks deceptively flat. And then all of a sudden you find this big old chasm. And so they were working their way through them, and they were running out of daylight. And the dad says to the son, you know, let's split up. I'll go this direction. You go this way. And there's a bluff over there. Just get up on top of the bluff and maybe you can see the cows. So the boy heads up this bluff on horseback, and he's working his way up near the top when he comes, horse sees it first, he comes across this Bigfoot hunkered down eating something, squatted down on the ground eating something. And of course his horse sees it first and smells it first and threw up its head and then just went absolute crazy berserk. So he saw it, and then the Bigfoot stood up and it was taller than him on his horse. And by then the horse was like having no part of that, turned around and ripped off down the mountain,
yeah,
or down the bluff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you think I could talk to that guy? And he's like, nope, he won't. I can guarantee you he won't tell you this story. He said, he just kind of told me this under duress.
Under duress.
So I was just thinking, I said, you know, he was probably eating one of your cows. just to be crazy, you know.
Yes. It was like, okay, there's a little humor here. Maybe it's not funny to everybody, but you know, hey, that's humor.
Yeah.
There's a food thing, and I know people who do set out like little candies and little trinkets and stuff like that, and they'll be moved and they'll move them around and stuff. But then you hear the stories of the animals that they find, you know, parts and pieces. It's like, okay, I really don't want to interrupt that.
Yeah, I have a good friend who's Indian, and she was saying that she has heard of people who have left everything from food to liquor for them. And as a Native American, that really, really ticks her off. Mm-hmm. Because she said, you know, it was the white guys who brought in the liquor that messed up the American Indian. And why the heck would they want to do that? Plus, if there comes a day when your paycheck is a little slow and you don't leave the liquor out there, what type of damage is going to happen to you? Uh-huh, you know, like, yeah, we want our beer.
Yeah. You're upping the ante there. Yeah. Chocolate's okay.
I have actually, I've left out apples and carrots and melons. They love the melons. Mm-hmm. Love them. Carrots, not so much. I would uh-huh. First time, I left some apples and some carrots out, and they ate the apples, and they left the carrots until they were these poor, puckered, withered things.
Oh, no. Okay, yeah.
At which time I just threw them away. I was like, okay, so carrots are not a big hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we don't do veggies. Okay, just like any other, you know, teenager, forget the veggies. Give us the good stuff. We do need to mention you've got books available on your website, BigfootLives.com.
I actually have 3 books out, so if you look on the website and there's only 2, come back. So we have Bigfoot Lives in Idaho, then Bigfoot Still Lives in Idaho, and then Bigfoot Lives Forever in Idaho. And when I first wrote that first book, I was just like, you almost never hear of stories in Idaho, but there are a lot of them. There's a lot of them. So I'm just kind of representing the state. Just throw that out there because I love my state. But I'm also doing kind of like a greatest hits type book and compiling some of the best stories from the 3 and then adding in some other things, but it's not quite ready yet. Almost. Hopefully very soon.
Becky Cook, BigfootLives.com. For more shows in the podcast archives, WendysCoffeeHouse.com. Thanks for listening.